Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 3rd of May. I'm Simon Brown, back in studios, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're going to be chatting with Petri Raidenhuis. US markets, worst start to the year since 1939. Some people say it's only in 60 years, whatever. The worst start probably in your lifetime. And then we're chatting with Alex Forbes on their retirement fund investment management industry. They have a management watch and their findings from that. Keith McLachlan, we're talking on what does he look at first when he's reading a set of results. That first point. They obviously, the publisher, the company puts a whole bunch up top, but where does he go first? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. A mountain of repairs to be made, says Toyota SA CEO. Senior VP says there are plans in place to prioritize existing orders for locally built models. I'm chatting with Jeb Bush tomorrow from CMH on results. We'll get more info, but of course that from the floods of a couple of weeks ago. Business Day, Implats says Competition Commission approves its Obuplat takeover bid. The company vying with Northam for control. Looks like Implats wins that one. Morning markets. US was green last night. S&P up 0.6 and NASDAQ up 1.7. Asia, we got Sydney up a few points, 0.05%. Tokyo closed for Constitution Day. They're also going to be closed Wednesday and Thursday. Commodities green overnight, although fairly weak since I've been gone. Gold, 1,864. Brent, 107.83 a barrel. Platinum, 937. Palladium, 2,250. Rand, 1608, breaking through that 16 level. Top 40 looking for about 400 points down after we didn't trade yesterday. That's 0.2%. Tencent looking for a 0.7 trading higher in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Petri Raidenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the time this morning. I said in the intro there, US markets, I mean, our market's kind of flat so far year to date. In the US, we got NASDAQ almost 20% down, S&P almost 13% down, a basket of US government bonds down 10%, pretty much nowhere to hide so far this year in the US. How are you guys looking at it at Herenia? I mean, are you buying aggressively? Are you short? Are you taking a wait and see? I know you spend a lot of time watching the VIX as well.
Yeah, good morning. So for now, we're kind of just in a wait and see mode, right? We're still sitting on a very, very healthy portion of cash in, mm-hmm. in the managed portfolios. We're not really in a rush to go out and spend that money, right? I'm currently sort of the view that our market probably, well, the US market particularly, probably sees another leg down. You know, I may or may not be right about this view. Yeah. Yesterday's price action was, in fact, we saw a reversal on a key support level. So we might bounce up and sort of trade to the top end of the range that we've made over the last two or so months. However, you know, we just continue to see signs of deteriorating U.S. economy, right? We've got, I think, a few of the boxes ticked, not all of them yet, but stagflation is almost officially classified, right?
So, well, yeah.
Because we're starting to see GDP contraction as well as higher inflation. So we need the labor market to start contracting as well. And then we really are there, right? So for now, we're kind of just wait and see. You know, our view is very much that, you know, during volatile times like this, that creates an enormous amount of opportunity. But you must have cash available in order to take that opportunity and to make the most of it. So for now, we're being patient and, you know, sitting on cash. We're still long quite a bit of energy and agricultural production and that kind of stuff, uranium as well. Beyond that, it's just a waiting game.
Yeah, so waiting, and I know we've chatted a bit over the last couple of months. It has been, in fact, I think from late last year, you were talking energy, you've been talking uranium, we're talking agriculture. That's where the money is. So sit in cash and wait and see. There's no need to try and call a bottom here.
Exactly, yeah. You know, when the bottom comes, that will be, you know, retrospectively, it's always very obvious where the bottom was, right? So it's easier. Hindsight is a perfect science. Going you know, moving forward through time makes it a bit more difficult to tell exactly when the right time is. But you know what? As a long-term or a medium-term investor, you don't necessarily always have to buy the exact bottom, right?
Correct.
You have to make sure that you're backing the right trends and that the trends that you're backing have some form of longevity in them. So until we see an opportunity that emerges that fits those criteria, we're going to wait.
Yeah, and I take your point. We're never going to get the bottom right. Find those trends that are working and stick with them. We'll leave that there. Petri Redenhuis, Herenia Capital Advisors, appreciate the early morning. And that is our question on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Chatting with Petri there. Are you buying U.S. stocks or bonds down at these levels? Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Janina Sorsky. She is head investment consulting, Alex Forbes. They had the Alex Forbes Manager Watch survey out recently. This surveys retirement fund investment managers, the industry broadly, and then, of course, collates and gives a sense. Janina, appreciate the early morning time. A really fascinating report. A bunch stood out for me. Perhaps what really stood out for me more than anything else is that the report shows a significant increased pace of transformation amongst the large asset managers. I mean, the industry really is I want to say, moving in the right direction, certainly taking transformation more seriously as time moves on.
Good morning, and agreed. Yes, the survey does show that. It's very heartening to see that managers have taken on board as requests from clients and regulators, et cetera, to show more transformation. A massive increase in the number of Level 1 contributors within the survey.
And you take that point. I mean, taking on board, I suppose it's the trend. The other big point was the increase in those who are signatories to the United Nations Principle for Responsible Investing. Again, another significant key point that is a trend 10 years ago, probably not massive, but is now becoming significantly more important for investors. The sense is that the industry is I suppose listening to their clients, which really is a solid sign.
Very much so, and it's both the PRI as well as the local CRESA, which is being far more endorsed. And it is very much driven by what clients want. Clients really are looking for transformed managers who are committed to responsible investing and looking for sustainable ways to deliver investment returns.
The other point that came through is a fairly big shift in terms of managers now using a benchmark sort of portfolios as opposed to non-benchmark. Am I reading too much into that? I mean, to me, I would expect most to have a benchmark, although perhaps, I mean, the trend hasn't been there. Is that a significant trend highlighted?
So I think it's looking more benchmark cognizant. I guess it's clients looking for more certainty in terms of investment returns. I think historically a lot of asset managers have been very non-benchmark cognizant, and sometimes that leads to long periods of underperformance versus benchmarks. So I think it might be just clients looking for more certainty and delivering returns that are expected to be above but fairly close to benchmarks.
Gotcha. Okay, I take the point on that. We're also seeing, I mean, and I suppose, you know, in many senses, we're seeing assets under management increasing. We're still seeing 91, the largest asset manager. There is a concentration at the top in terms of the number of managers, but that you know, it is sort of a fair broad. It's what, some 10 managers out of the 70 odd that you surveyed. My sense around that is that again shows a healthy industry. There is some concentration happening, but it's happening sort of broadly in a sense, if that makes intuitive sense.
Yes, so definitely the top 10 very concentrated, but we do see trends towards black-owned managers, smaller managers. So the percentage at the top 10 has actually been decreasing gradually over time. But I think you'll find that clients are very loyal to their top 10. So it's a trend that we're seeing only slowly over time, and certainly very credible managers that clients are trusting with the largest asset pools.
I take that loyalty, and I suppose it's a sense of you kind of stay with what you know, and perhaps you mentioned some of the smaller asset managers, particularly some of the black-owned smaller managers, a sense of, I suppose, you're trying them out. You're giving them a tester. You'll give them some of the capital, but there is a sense of you know, staying with largely with what you do know and changing slowly, which is, again, not a bad thing in an industry that looks after our pensions.
Agreed, and as I said, loyalty, but also very credible managers. I think if you've got managers that are doing well, delivering returns, very solid investment teams, clients will stay with them. Yes, they will allocate on the margin and increasingly to the transformed managers, but yes, very much still allocating to the largest.
Last question on the fee side. You mentioned that a number of managers weren't giving information around fees. Certainly, the trend, and this is anecdotal from what I'm aware of, but the trend is over the last decade, two decades, many years, fees are coming down markedly, even if some of the managers perhaps aren't wanting to give detailed disclosure.
Agreed. So one of the biggest trends was they're not wanting to give a split between their local and offshore fees.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously offshore fees is one of the biggest drivers of excessive fees. So we are seeing a trend of fees coming down. It's a lot of pressure from clients and competitors, and also obviously allocation to some passive strategies within overall fee structures. But definitely trends towards lower fees.
Yeah, I take that. It's certainly passive is helping, but just broadly in an industry over the last couple of decades, fees been under significant downward pressure. We'll leave it there. Janina Slavsky, Head of Investment Consulting, Alex Forbes. Talking that Alex Forbes, Manager Watch, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Keith McLachlan. You find him, Integral Asset Management. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. The question I'm posing to you is, we're back in sort of earnings seasons for the company's reporting periods to February. And when they send out their SENS announcement, they've always got a couple of highlights from the results. And we need to be clear, it's the highlights that the company wants you to look at. The lowlights, they've buried somewhere else. My question to you is, I'm imagining you glance at that and then you go to something which is kind of top of your list. What is it that you go to first when checking a set of results?
Morning, Simon, and you're absolutely right. Management picking the highlights is a little bit misleading. Ultimately, the shareholders and the market should. So the first thing is what gets released, and we're going to talk more specifically about the JSE, but this does happen around the world as well. But what gets released is an abbreviated set of results. The first thing I do is ignore that and click through to the full results.
Yeah.
And in the full results, I'm going to read the numbers before I read the narrative. What I mean by that is management get to write and they get to wax lyrically on about their view of things. Now, their view of things is typically incentivized, or they are incentivized to make it as positive and as rosy as possible. And in some cases, it's just downright misleading their narrative. So the first thing is I look at the numbers. I want to know if the top line is growing, and I want to know if that growth is driven by volume or price, depending on the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could dig down a little deeper and we want to see if the profitability is improving or decreasing, and not profits, profitability. So we're looking at margins, for example, and the like. And all of that trickles down into a cash flow statement. I want to make sure those profits are converting into cash. And then ultimately, I want to have a look at the structure of the balance sheet. Is it deteriorating or improving? Meaning, is the debt piling up or are we got a very, very comfortable balance sheet? All of that is being read through the lens of understanding management incentives. How are they portraying these things before I circle around and read the narrative? Because the narrative, often looking at the facts, will either add to them or detract from them. But you're at least now armed with facts before you're reading what is effectively a subjective view of the business.
I take your point on that. So, I mean, you started, as you say, facts. These are the hard numbers. This is the real McCoy in a sense. And then with that in mind, when you go and read what the management get to say, you also get a sense of management, because you've now got the same facts they had, and how have they interpreted? Are they putting a rosy spin on it? Are they being bluntly honest and saying this was tough or this was good? And it gives you a much better understanding of the management team in many ways.
Definitely. I mean, so sometimes you get anomalies in the results. I mean, we've just been through a period in South Africa with riots, floods, I mean, a pandemic. So there can be a large number of once-offs. And by the way, something that's quite useful to do if you've got the time is to go back into prior periods and read management's prospects or forecasts or outlook section, depending on what they call it, so that you get what they think the future is. Now, management can't predict riots and floods and things like this, so one shouldn't hold it against them. So zoom a little bit more into what we're looking for is, are they doing what they say they're doing? Are they executing upon the promises within the variables that they can control? And what's very, very interesting is that, so honest, trustworthy management teams judge themselves harshly, whereas what you get is you get dishonest and untrustworthy management teams. When they miss goals, they just shift the goalposts and then hope that nobody reads prior sets of results. So we're not just getting a sense for the business. We're getting a sense for the custodians of capital that are running this business. What are the incentives and why are they shifting the goalposts and the like? And that often comes down to bonuses.
I used to do that, and there was one company in the JC, I won't name them, they delisted now anyway, and every year management would say things were tough, it'll be better next year, and I went back and read 5 years of reports, and they had said that for 5 years, which meant that things were tough and not going to get better at all. You mentioned incentivized, and that's an important point as well. That probably comes more from the annual report, but of course management are there for the paycheck, and how they are going to get bonuses and be scored by the remuneration committee is an important issue as well, because that's frankly what they're going to look at most importantly.
Definitely. So we've got to distinguish between owner managers. Mm-hmm. So these are guys that own over 50% in their own companies, and you'll find them scattered across the small cap. There aren't many of them in the large cap area, but you'll find them scattered across the small cap. Now, these guys are aligned with shareholders. Depending on how they view the world, they can actually be brutally honest about their own companies, because no one's going to fire them because they own the majority. But then the vast majority of the listed market is run by professional managers that are put together and incentivized with various short and long-term bonuses. Understand what those are. These guys are often defending their jobs. I mean, if you want to understand how a person's going to act, go have a look at their incentive set. You know, that's really the foundation of this, because these are the guys that are building these results and then reporting them to us. So it's almost like a journalist that is writing a news article, but they've got an incentive to spin it in a certain way. You've got to understand that. What's the incentive?
Yeah, and if their incentive is increase in HEPS, then that's what they're going to focus on. If it's return in equities, that's where their focus is going to be. But I also like that distinction between if they've got 50%+, well, actually, they're just they're a shareholder. They can't be fired. They're going to want that share price more than anything to be moving. We'll leave it there. Keith McLachlan, Integral Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning time, sir. That's it for today. Chatting there with Petri earlier, that's our poll on Twitter and LinkedIn. Are you buying US stocks or perhaps even bonds down at these levels? Yes, with both hands, a little bit carefully, no ways risky, or perhaps monthly ETF purchases. I do a monthly ETF purchase. That happens regardless. But Petri's point, I think, was spot on. we're not going to call the bottom. We don't need to. We can wait. As a long-term investor, there are spaces. He's been liking energy and agri for some time now. In the meantime, perhaps it is best to just watch and wait. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabuchle, Nicole, Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.